Our next presentation is going to be on rehearing and en banc practice in the Fifth Circuit, and our presenter is Jason LaFong, who's senior counsel with Yetter Coleman. He is also a former federal clerk for the Fourth Circuit. He's got extensive appellate experience in state and federal courts. From 2016 to 2020, he was a Texas Assistant Solicitor General. And pertinent here, he has argued 18 appeals in the Fifth Circuit, including before the en banc court. So let's welcome Jason LaFont, please.
Thank you, Doug. And I want to take a moment to also thank the organizers of this event. I've been practicing in Texas for 7 years now, but six of them were in government. And as my friend Bill Davis probably knows, that's sort of a cloistered experience. And this event has been great to get to know other lawyers in this practice and to learn from them. And on that note, thank you to the diehards who are here at 3 o'clock on a Friday to hear me talk about this niche. This niche, for whatever reason, has been a relatively common part of my practice. I've been involved in probably close to 40 appeals in the Fifth Circuit, and have sought en banc and sought en banc 4 times and panel rehearing 1 time, so more than 10% of my cases. I thought about this topic and I wrote the paper, and the paper is, you know, sort of a primer that I hope that can help in. If you find yourself in a position where you think the court has messed up, and I have a presentation. I know I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to start with the 4 takeaways just in case I can't get through anything that I think are most important. Number one, all things being equal, you're probably wasting your time seeking rehearing or en banc. Number two, you're not just spending your client's money, you're spending your reputational capital with the court, which is something to think about before you seek it. Number three, if the panel ignored circuit precedent, you're much more likely to be successful seeking en banc review rather than panel rehearing, and that gets into the panel can always grant rehearing when it's on en banc, and they're just more likely to do that, I think, when they've been called out for ignoring prior precedent to their colleagues. And number four, if you have doubts about whether or not your case is en banc worthy, it is not en banc worthy. So I want to see if I know how this thing works. All right, just to set the stage, why do we need en banc and panel rehearing? As I'm sure most of you do, I like to think about the Fifth Circuit and other appellate judges in terms of Mount Olympus and the gods of Greece. But there's a lesser known Greek god called Ate, and she is the Greek goddess of mischief and ruin. And as I'm sure we've all experienced, she walks on the top of our heads and leads us astray. And Homer told us that, but Apollonius Rhodius told us later that even the gods are sometimes visited by Ate. And so why does that matter to us? Well, because sometimes the gods throw a dice as cold as ice, and someone way down here loses something dear. The winner takes it all, the loser has to fall, and it's simple and it's plain. Now, why should I complain? Well, most of the time you shouldn't, because as Bruce Lee said, to accept defeat is to be liberated from it. But sometimes you're going to have to go for it anyway. And so I want to start with, because I like history, I want to sort of talk about the background, how we got to where we are today, from the English Chancery to the Fifth Circuit IOPs. The word rehearing comes from the English Chancery, and that is before the Chancellor actually stamped the seal, you could ask his counselors over and over and over again to reconsider it. That got imported into the U.S. courts, but the typical practice for the U.S. courts was that you could ask them to rehear things so long as they were still in the term. Wait, I'm going too fast. And then en banc became an issue after the Everetts Act in the late 19th century, which actually created the modern circuit courts as we know them today.